before tonight's show, I said I'd give you a couple cases that happened last week that I heard about. So one case was someone had a person mow his lawn. Reuven had Shimon mow his lawn last year. And, you know, he came every couple weeks to mow his lawn. And when this year came along, Reuven, to his surprise, saw that Shimon mowed his lawn. And he hadn't asked him to do it. And he didn't want to pay Shimon because he hadn't asked for that service. And Shimon said, look, I did it last year. I thought I should do it this year. So does Reuven have to pay Shimon? He says, what's the halacha?
The halacha is that if he did an improvement on it, even though you didn't ask him, but he did an improvement, then you have to pay for it.
Right, there's the din of a yored, shelo b'shus, and asada that's asuya lita. Right, this field needs the mowing. Right, that's what I asked him at first. I said, did you have your lawn cut when he came already, or was it not cut? So he said, no one had cut it. And he just came and cut it without my asking him. So I said, your lawn needs a cut. And even if it's wrong for him to assume that he should come back, I said, first of all, I think he's right in assuming he should come back next year. Because if you have someone cut your lawn for a whole year, and you didn't tell him not to come back next year, I think you can assume that he's going, like, I didn't tell my guy to come back next year, and when he came back, I didn't say, what are you here for? I assumed that you did it last year, you come back this year. If you don't want him, you say, okay, we're finished. And we'll talk about firing in coming weeks. But I think the assumption here is that he should come back. But even l'shitascha, that you say you didn't want him to come back, but he came and he was yored to your field and needed the lawn cut and he did a normal job, so you should have to pay him fair market value. Right? So that's the first case. I mean, these are just chazara cases, that's not tonight's year. And the second thing that happened was that there was the second case was someone had hired someone for a certain job. They had to go to, I don't know exactly the details, I'll change the details in case, you know, it's nogeya someone, it wasn't nogeya anyone here, as far as I know. But someone had to go to a chasana and they hired a babysitter a few weeks in advance, so they could go to the chasana. And then the day before, the babysitter called and said, I'm sorry, you only wanted me for 3 hours, but I got a job that I could stay overnight, because the family's going out of town and it's worth much more money to me, and we didn't have any contract, there was nothing signed here, it was just oral, and I'm taking that other job. And the assumption here was that the first family couldn't get another babysitter to come in time for the chasana. So it was a very popular chasana in town, all the babysitters were taken by now. Do they have any claim to tell the babysitter that you have to come to us? You're talking about Mechusar Amana we spoke about. Right, but I'll just briefly review what we had then. Right, we learned that there are two types of workers. There's a poel, who a shkiryom gets paid per hour, and then there's a kaplan, someone who accepts upon himself to complete a job. So we said, someone who accepted upon himself to complete a job is not allowed to leave the job in the middle. If he does, so then we learn two ways of taking care of him. You can hire someone else. You can tell him, I'll give you $10,000 to complete it, and then say, we're going back to the original pay. Right? Socher la ramatan. Poel is, we say, avadahim v'lavadim l'avadim. The Gemara says, you're only a servant to Hashem, not to other people. And a poel, someone who's getting paid per hour, is allowed to quit in the middle of a job, which should apply to a babysitter also. A babysitter, we said, is limited to a certain amount of time. She's going to be here 8 to 11 at night, so those are her hours. She's limited to a specific time, so she's a schir yom, so she should be able to quit even in the middle of a job. Right? There's no... And that could, even if there's a kinyan, even if there is a contract, right, she can quit. But then we learned in another next year that if it's a davar ha'avud, if it's going to cause the employer a loss, but Gemara's case is that their job was to take the flax out of the water, and if it's not taken out in time, it'll get ruined. And then we saw that our modern poskim talked about a band that decides not to come to the chasana the last minute, right? Even if it's not a monetary loss, it's at the chasana, they won't have music. We said if it's a davar ha'avid, so then the poel is not allowed to quit in the middle, or even before they start, in a case where there's not going to be time to get a replacement. So over here it would seem that the babysitter, even though the babysitter had a more lucrative offer, she was not permitted to quit al pi din, because it's a davar ha'avad. This couple, assumption was they couldn't get another babysitter for the chasana and they would not be able to go, and her word means something in halacha. Besides the fact that it's din of mechusar amana, right? Sheyus yisola yasu avla, that when we say something we're supposed to keep to the word. So that was the second case. So by coming to this year, they could have avoided hurt feelings and shilas what to do. Okay, so tonight's case, we're a completely new topic. We haven't dealt with anything like this yet. We're going to talk about if you have someone working for you. And, well, I'll tell you the case. We'll focus on a specific case. You had someone who was working for an employer, a 9-to-5 job, and his habit was to always stay overtime. Very often he would stay over, and he never would claim that he wants wages for the overtime pay. Then they got into a fight. You know, this was going on for years. They got into a fight, and he said he's going to leave the job, and he said, and by the way, I want pay for all those extra hours that I spent during the years that I was working for you. And the employer says, you weren't planning on getting paid, you were mochelit. You're just asking it for now because we got in a fight and you're leaving. And now you're trying to find all kinds of things to try to, you know, give me a bill for $100,000 for an hour a day for 10 years. That's not fair. Right? So what's the halacha? That's a good question. Right? That's something we have to talk about. Is there forget the overpay. Right. Suppose you have just stumped someone working for you and he forgot to bill you.
Exactly.
And he forgot to bill you. And then 10 years later it happens sometimes with these hospitals and the doctors, right? You go there and they give you a whole list, and then 3 years later the anesthesia department sends you a bill. Right? And you say, I thought you were mochelet. You know, it's been 3 years. I paid $30,000 already for this thing, and now you want another $5,000. You know, I thought you were mochelet already. Yeah, so we're going to leave Dina Mechusa Dina out of this. We're going to see first what halacha is, and the pashtus, when you're talking about someone, Reuven, working for Shimon, and it's nothing to do with anything in government, so you don't really care what Dina Mechusa says about it. We want to find out, is there a difference? What he intended? Is the duration of time any indication of what he intended? Is the fact that he's just making the claim now an indication of what he intended? So it all starts, the first thing we're going to have to find out, even before that, right? We know that there's a halacha of mechila. You could be mochel someone. Even though someone owes you money, there's a din that you could be mochel. You could waive your right to the claim. So the first thing we have to know is, does that have to be verbal in writing, or in writing, or can it just be thought? If you think you're being mochel someone, does that have any meaning? Right, that's the first thing we have to talk about. So there's on the second side of the handout. We'll start the second side. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Yodeis, Mechila ein esricha kinyan. First of all, Mechila does not require a kinyan. That's a machlokes rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, you don't need a kinyan. You don't need a kinyan. But do you have to say that you're being mochel the person? So the Marshal, the Ketos brings the Marshal, who says, if someone says, I was really planning, in my heart, I had forgiven the loan, but But now he got into a fight and he wants to take revenge Rimena from him. Lazer Siva for some reason. Vetova, and now he makes the claim. Lo mahani tibiyasta, the claim does not help. De mechila belev, havi mechila. Since he at one point had forgiven the debt, he had waived his right to that money, it's gone. It's not his anymore. It's machlokis. Achronim, what the pshat in mechila is, does it mean like he is machne to him, or is it just like he's removing his rights from it, and there's nafkaminas la'alacha, according to the Machner Fraim goes on that. But the Marshal said that a mechila thought, just a mechila belev is called a mechila. And his raya is from a Gemara in Ksuvas. Let's see the on side one, we'll see the Gemara in Ksuvas. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah starts Ksuvas daf kuf dalet amud aleph. The Chachamim say, we're talking about someone whose husband had died, and she has a claim on her ksuva. So the Gemara says, "Kozman she beveis baila, as long as she's living in her husband's house, gava ksuva sela olam, she could collect the ksuva forever. Kozman she beveis avia, but when she's in her father's house, then gava ksuva sad esim v'chamishanim, she can only collect her ksuva for 25 years." So the Gemara says, "Amar Yudah Marav, hey Rabbi Shmuel b'Reb Yosi l'fnei Rabbi Shami Mishum Aviv." This is only talking, the Gemara says, when she doesn't have a ksuva in her hand. But if she has a ksuva in her hand, then she could collect it forever, because we have no reason to think she was mochalit. If she had been mochalit, if she had really forgiven the ksuva, she would have returned the document. The fact that she'd never returned the document is proof that she did not make a mechila. Rav Elazar says, "Afilish taksuva yos mitachas yodeha." Even if she has the ksuva, she only has 25 years as a statute of limitation. After that time, she can no longer collect. So really, this is all we need. But let's just finish the Gemara, because we're going to need it later. Masir Rashesh is asked a kasha from a braisa. The braisa says, "Balchov govish lo bahaskara." A balchov, a regular balchov, not a woman collecting her ksuva. Someone who lent money and now he wants to collect that money. So he could collect even though he had been quiet for many years. The Gemara asks, "Hey, chidami, what's the case? Either lenok et star, if he doesn't have a star, then my gavi, how can he collect? He has no proof. El, the lenok et star must be talking that he has a star. And nevertheless, the braisa is saying it's a balchov who's able to collect forever, delav barachuli, because he has no reason to be mochel. Why should he be mochel the debt? But an amana has reason to be mochel the debt, because she's been getting favors all these years. And we assume after 25 years of getting taken care of and supported, by now she has forgiven the ksuva. And we see that even though she has a ksuva, she still is mochel. That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara gives an answer. But anyway, from this Gemara we see, the Marshal says that the woman, after 25 years, we assume she's mochel her ksuva. What did she do? She didn't write anything. She didn't say anything. We just assume because she's getting favors for 25 years, the assumption is that at that time, she's forgiven her ksuva. She's mochel it. So the Marshal says there's a proof from here that even though the mechila is just made, thinking, there's nothing in writing, nothing spoken, the mechila counts. Right? That's the Marshal's raya. All the achronim, or most achronim, disagree with the Marshal. Right? The Ketzos, on the spot there, Simin Yud Beis, he asks, where do you ever see that a machshava helps? Where do you ever see that thinking makes a kinyan? The only place thinking makes a difference is if you think you're going to give something to Hektish, so then we say that it's like Timsirasa Lehedyo. Right? If you're thinking you're going to give something to Amiraso Legval, but it means even if you think you're going to give something to Hektish, and the Shilas where that applies to Stam Sadaka, if you think you're going to give something to Hektish, so then it counts like you made a Kinyan. But nowhere else he says it doesn't help by Hefker. You think you're going to make something Hefker, right? By Bittul Chametz, you have to speak it out. It doesn't help by a Neder, it doesn't help by anything. Where do you see that Machshava should help? Dvarim Shevelevenim Dvarim. So the Ktos has a good kasha. He says, where do you ever see that Machshava is going to help, but what do you do with the Gemara and Ksuvas? Right? Why isn't the Marshal right? The Marshal has a proof from the Gemara and Ksuvas that after 25 years the Ksuvas is gone, she can't claim it anymore, even though she didn't say anything. I am achshava never has any validity. Thinking doesn't have any validity. So what do you do with the Gemara in Ksuvos? Right. So the Ktzos answers with a marit. The Ktzos says the marit makes a yesod that if there's an umda nemuchach, if there's reason for us to assume, right, that we have halachas of a non-sadi, even though no one says anything, but we can tell that such a situation has occurred. If there's an umda nemuchach, right, there's a, like he says, a chesed gimel shanim, right, he says, heichad yadua l'chol halam, where the whole world knows such a thing is true, if the whole world knows that in such a case a person is mochel, so then the Mechila works, and that's Pshat the Gemara in Ksuvos. That's what the Gemara is saying over there. The Gemara is saying, if this widow is there 25 years, getting supported by the family, everyone knows, it's an umdun and a muchach, that 25 years of support is reason to believe that she has now waived her rights to the Ksuva. Right? The Ktzos says there's no kasha from the Gemara in Ksuvos. The Gemara in Ksuvos proves the Maharit's point. The Marshal says, if anyone just thinks I'm being mochel, it works. The Ktzos says, and the Nesivos agrees, it only works where the whole world realizes that this is something that you would be mochel. It's clear to the world that you were mochel this. Right, so we have this machlokas, the Marshal and the Ktzos, but you know, when the Ktzos and the Nesivos agrees with the Ktzos that just thinking that you're going to be mochel does not make a difference unless everyone in the world knows that that's something that you're going to be mochel. Right? That's halacha lemaisa. That's what the Ktzos says. That's what the Nesivos says. The Nesivos, though, adds one fact, and this comes out to halacha lemaisa. The Nesivos says, even though the mechila doesn't count if it's belayv, unless the whole world knows it, if your mechila belayv is accompanied by a maisa, by an action, then it does count. In other words, he says halacha like this: if you tell someone, "Why don't you come stay with me for a few weeks?" and at that time you meant that they should stay with you for free, you know, you're coming out of town, stay with me for a few weeks, and then you get into a fight with him at the end and they say, and here, you don't want you to pay me for the rent for the last 3 weeks. So the Nesiva says over there, since you told him to stay with me, right, so since you said, or come, I'll take you out to dinner, and at that time you were planning on paying for it, and in the middle of the dinner you got into a fight, and you say, I don't want to pay for his thing, right? So the Nesiva says, in those cases, dur bechatzeirai or acholimi, and you were planning on doing it for nothing. You're planning on giving him a matana, and you do that action of taking him out to dinner or having him stay in your house. So that you gave him a present already. You gave him the present of letting him stay in your house. You gave him the present of this dinner. Afterwards, you want to retract it. So that's not mechila anymore. The whole halacha of the Ktzos and the Nesivos that you need the whole world to know that this was a mechila is in a case where it was just a machshava. You lent him $100 10 years ago, and you were planning at that time to get the money back. Now, the shaila is, you forgave it, you were mochelit. So in that case, since you didn't say you were mochelit, you didn't write that you were mochelit, you didn't know action to show that you were mochelit, so in that case, the Ktzos and the Nesivos, based on the Marit, say that the Mechila is meaningless. The Mashal says it counts, but the Ktzos and the Nesivos say it's meaningless. But if you do an action at the time when you are being mochelit, so then it's like you gave him a present, and you can no longer retract it. That's what the Nesivos says. So based on this, let's just talk with our case a little bit, and then we'll explore it a little bit more. So over here, this worker who was doing the overtime, what did he think when he stayed in an hour late every day? What did he think? Like, he's coming to you to ask you the shaila, is he allowed to collect it now? Right? He wants to, and he's going to be honest with you. So if he tells you, when I was working that extra hour every day, I was planning on helping the business out. I had no intention of getting paid for it because I wanted to help the business grow. I liked my boss. I wanted to do him a favor. So if at that time he had no intention of making a claim. So that's like the Nazivas is saying, it's, he gave it a present. I'm giving you a present. My time, my work, whatever I'm doing, I'm giving to you as a present. Now 5 years later I want to take it back. That's an Indian giver. You can't take it back. Right? There's no, you have no basis to take back a present that you gave away. But if at that time he truly meant that I'm going to claim this one day, I just don't want to do it now. It's embarrassing. I want to build up goodwill. I want them to see the work that I do for the year or two before I make a claim for it. At that, and then he doesn't. The Pesach Yechoshim doesn't say that. And then at the end of the year, you decide, you know, he's been good to me. I think I'm going to be mochel that past year's work. So in that case, he could retract the mechila, is meaningless. He could retract that mechila, unless there's something that the whole world could see that the mechila should hold in such a case. So, you know, it's a little tricky, but I think there's this difference in halacha. If when you're working, and I would advise you, if you were in such a situation, you know, have this thought in mind that I'm not giving it as a present right now. Right now I'm working as and I hope to get paid one day. I'm just not going to ask for it now. And at the end of the year, you decide, okay, I'm not going to ask. I'll be mochel. He was good to me. He gave me a bonus. I'm not going to claim it. Right? So that mechila won't have any validity according to the Ketzos of the Nesivis. But if at the time you're working, you had not planned on making a claim, so then it's a matoni. You gave him that present, and you can't take that present back.
Is there an umdun that he's probably doing mochel at that
point? Okay, so let's talk about a couple cases of umdun and mochel. The Shulchan Aruch says, based on another Mishnah in Ksuvos, at the bottom of the first page of the handout, the Mishnah in Ksuvos says, if there are two people have loan documents against each other, Reuven has a document that says Shimon owes him $1,000, and Shimon has a document saying that Reuven owes him $1,000. So Adman says, you know, so you would precious think, just cancel them out and they're even. But the second one says, I already paid back the money I owed you. Shimon tells Reuven, I already paid you back the money I owed you. And the proof is, when you wrote this, when you borrowed money from me, why did you borrow money from me? Why didn't you just take the money that I owed you if I hadn't paid back the loan? The fact that I have a document here, that you're bringing a document that I lent you money after you borrowed money from me, that the fact that I lent you money after I borrowed money from you, it proves that I paid you back, because otherwise you'd have just asked for me to give the money back instead of taking out a loan. Right? That's the Mishnah in Ksuvos, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins this lahalacha, that where the second document is later, he can claim that I paid you back the loan, because otherwise why are you borrowing money from me? You should have just taken back the money as the money I owed you. So based on this, the Yavis had a shaila that someone had been working as a broker for some for 3 years, bringing in business, and he never claimed any money. Finally, they got into a fight, and he now asked for his back pay for those 3 years. So he says that if in the middle of that time, in the middle of that period of time, he borrowed money from him and paid him back, so that's proof that he was mochel the money at that time. That's an umdun and a muchach. Right, so an umdun and a muchach, if you see that, if I really was planning on getting that money from you, so why did I borrow money from you and pay you back? I should have just taken the money that you owed me. So such a case is an umdun and a muchach. Another case would be, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Shin Lamed Hey, not on the handout, I ran out of room. A case brought down that if someone claims money, someone's been working for a certain person, not getting paid, and he says, from now on I want to get paid. Right? He's ready to leave, and the employer says, here, I'll pay you. And he didn't say he wants back pay, so in that case, it's an umdun l'muchach that he had been working for nothing at that time, right? Why didn't he say, while we're at it, how about all these years I've been here and I didn't get paid? So from there, it's an umdun and a muchach, assuming once again that he really meant on getting paid. If he knows deep down he was doing it for free, then he can't claim anything. But in such a case, that would be numdun amuchak, that even if he was planning on getting paid, now he's mochel. At this point in time, when they make the deal, from now on I'm going to get paid, that means I've been mochel all back claims against you. And that's another case. Is the fact that I've been working here 10 years, 25 years, and did not make a claim, is that proof that I've been mochel it? How about the length of time? So we come back to this gemara we started with in Ksuvas. The Shulchan Aruch says it's only by Ksuva we assume that they're mochel 25 years. But if you waited 25, 30 years, and you did not make a claim, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a loan, and you did not make that claim against a loan, we don't assume that you're mochel it, even if we hear you saying, I'm never going to get the money back from that guy, like he's impossible to get it from. Even though you were miyayish, the yish doesn't count. That doesn't mean that you gave up your rights to the loan. That's not an umdan in the muchach. Right? And the raya is from the Gemara in Ksuvas. That's by an omana who's getting fed for 25 years. So there we say that she's mochel it. But stama balchov, there's no proof. The fact that he didn't claim it for 25, 30 years, he finds his old document in his drawer, we don't assume that he was mochel it. Sure. Sure, in fact, Aruch HaShulchan wants to say that in the case we said before, if you make an arrangement from that one, and he says that's only by Tamal Chacham, who's not supposed to get paid for his work, but anyone else, it's just Chai Batal, but anyone else, he was a Yoreid. I should at least get paid as a Yoreid, for a Shus even. I was allowed to be here, so how do I lose my wages for that? Right, so as soon as I'm working for someone, I have an established tevia here. I have an established claim. The only way I will lose that claim is if I am mochelit. And we have learned tonight that the mechila does not need a kinyan. But if you just think that you're forgiving it, that's not a mechila. It has to be either spoken or it has to be written. It has to be either spoken or written. Just a machshava b'leiv is, there's not any proof. It's not a mechila. That's not a mechila. It has no validity. Unless the whole world can tell that his quiet, his silence, shows that he was mochelit. We've learned tonight that the 25-year span, a 30-year span, there's no statute of limitations. That does not prove that he was mochelit. Now, I did see in one of the modern poskim is that if everyone is noheg with a statute of limitations, that's the minig, and the custom is that everyone knows standard business practice is that if you don't make the claim within 3 years, so then you lose it. So then you enter it into that deal with such a you have insurance, and you know that if you don't make the claim in 3 years, you lose it. So you can't say, well, pi halacha, I wasn't mochel, but when you entered into the deal, that was the deal. You knew that you had a contract that you had to make the claim in 3 years. So same thing, if it would be very widespread that you have to make a claim in a certain, there's a minhag malkum that you have to make the claim in a certain amount of time and you didn't, that might be an umdan l'muchach. Right? You have to see if that's true. But in general, a silence is not proof of mechila. The length of time is not proof of mechila. The two cases we have which would be proof, talking about our worker, would be they got in the fight and they said, from now on, I want to get paid overtime. So at that point, he can't come back 10 years later and then his next time he has a fight and say, I want back pay for all those other years I didn't get back pay, because when he agreed from now on to have back pay, so he's waived his rights to the past back pay. And the other one, from what we saw tonight, would be if he had an opportunity to make a claim. He did make some claim against his employer, and he didn't make it as strong as he could have. He just made partially, like the case where he borrowed money and paid it back. Right there, he said, the fact you borrowed and didn't just take the money back, that's proof that you waived it. So if there was something he claimed that he wanted this compensation, something, and he did not claim that overtime, which under normal circumstances, if he was planning on asking for it, he should have claimed it, that will also be called an umdud al-mukhuk, that's a proof. That will be our proof that he was mochelit, and even though he didn't say it, that would be enough to satisfy the conditions of the Marit and the Ktsos and the Nesivas, that the Mechila helps. But once again, to remember the Nesivas, that in all cases, if when we, at the time we're doing the action, right, at the time we're doing the work, we were not planning on charging for it, right? The neighbor asks you, can you look at my car, and your mechanic, you look at my eyes, and your eye doctor, can you look at my, help me with my grass, and he wasn't planning on charging at the time, and then years later they get in a fight, or weeks later they get in a fight, and say, I don't want you to pay me for that free service I gave you, and you know that you were not planning on charging at that time. So the Nesivas says that that wasn't a mechila. That's not a mechila b'machshav. That's a case that you gave a matana. You gave a present of your time, of your work, and you can't take that back now. If it's mechila, then you could start talking. The mechila was a mistake, and I want it wasn't the real mechila, and I want to take it back.